Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, November 10th. We always have to timestamp our show. I think I'm the only one that does that. But it's actually pretty cool. Then you don't have to go reading and stuff. You know right away if it's a replay or not.
Yes.
Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Sam.
We have a very cold day outside. Well, it's not very cold, but it's chilly. Last night it was pretty chilly, actually.
It was really cold last night.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually happy about this because we've had a very hot summer, and I just have to start breaking out the winter clothes, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird after you wear short sleeve all summer, and we've had a long summer, too.
We have. It's yeah. November, and it's only finally now becoming winter,
I know.
Or fall.
And look at us. We're still dressed in summer clothes, you know? I mean, that's what California, Southern California is all about.
Yeah. I mean, I dress the way I dress today, not because of the weather, but because of just some things I needed to do today.
Okay. So it had to be short sleeve.
No, it fit what I was doing.
Okay.
So, but otherwise I'd be like
yeah, at
wearing,
worst you could put a jacket on or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is chilly, so I will say that.
Yeah, it is chilly, and now we're just waiting for the rain. And that'll be an official winter for us.
I'm not that excited about the rain.
No?
No.
So did you see the, where people are putting on Facebook, there was something in the sky, like lights in the sky over here and over Woodland Hills, a lot of people saw.
I didn't see that. I don't know if that's because my friends live more in West Hollywood or by the water.
Yeah.
But what were they saying?
But did you see about it? I mean, did you see any posts on it on Facebook?
No, because none of my friends live over here to post about it.
That's true, yeah. But people were sharing it and things like that. People were thinking it's a UFO. It looked kind of like a meteor or something, but go figure, you know. It was meteors, usually you don't see the light for very long. But here it, you know, and people actually videotaped it. And took pictures and stuff, and it looks pretty strange. So the government says it was a missile test and all that stuff. Of course, what else are they going to say? I, for one, believe it because I don't think we'll ever see UFOs, but that's just my opinion. So there you go.
So you don't believe in UFOs?
I do not at all.
Okay.
I mean, I love movies about UFOs and aliens and stuff. I mean, I was like a big X-Files fan, but yeah, I don't really believe there's anybody out there other than us, or at least they're not going to get here anytime soon.
Got it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I believe it or don't believe it. I don't really think about it.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. You know, I'm just thinking that, I don't know, I read somewhere that any society that would have the technology to get here from so far away would probably have destroyed itself before, you know, with all this technology, you know, nuclear bombs, whatever. That's, of course, if they have the same nature as humans do, which is to fight all the time. And I mean, that seems to be the case. You know, every movie, every book out there, it's about killing and about fighting and about chasing people. And, you know, and then you look at all the flashpoints in the world and it's the same. People are trying to destroy other people. And, you know, so, I mean, somebody posted something about how we've been at war for like 132 years out of the 200 and some that America has been around. And I don't know that. So, you know, the thing is just from reading history and stuff, you realize you don't really have a choice, you know. I mean, you just, when you're America, you have a lot of enemies, people that envy us, people that want to destroy us.
That's true. I mean, the thing, though, is, I mean, we weren't the first country to ever fight, though, either.
Right.
So I think since probably the beginning of time.
Yeah. There's been fighting. But
yeah.
But the sad thing, though, is that we haven't won any won any wars lately, so that kind of sucks. But
do wars get won anymore?
Anymore is a good question, you know.
Also, like, who determines that somebody won? And I think now there's more of an equal playing field among the countries and the continents than there probably were in the past as well.
Right. I think winning means if you achieve your goals, your aims. I think if you manage to defeat the enemy, so they're not a threat anymore, and that's not the case, you know.
But do we defeat? Like, I guess the question is, what?
Well,
do we...
like, well, look, in World War II, we did defeat the Nazis. I mean, they were gone after that.
Yeah,
we stopped that. Vietnam, on the other hand, we did not defeat the enemy. In fact, they won big time. You know, in Iraq, we did not win because you can see there's a lot of problems there. So there is no democracy, which we hoped to put there.
Right.
You know. So, yeah, and, you know, and then that plane that crashed in the Sinai Desert, they're saying it's probably a bomb.
Yeah.
And, you know, so now people are realizing, you know, ISIS is not only there anymore. Now it can touch us too. You know.
Well, who's us?
The rest of the world. You know, I mean, these were Russians, but I'm talking about that, you know, like ISIS mainly is like fighting with other Arabs, with Kurds, with the Syrians, you know, and all that. But so, you know, people are saying, oh, it's there, it's not our problem. But they're bringing it to us now by bringing it to the West and affecting, you know, showing they can bomb planes. So they could have easily done it to an American plane.
They definitely could. And, I mean, obviously we hope that they don't. And maybe this will just remind all the people again to beef up security.
Yeah.
Once more.
It just shows you, you know, the terrorists changed our way of life. We've improved our security where, you know, it's annoying and everything. And still, now the problem is that they're realizing that people are, you know, they're recruiting people that actually work in airports. There are 900,000, almost a million people working in airports around the world with unfettered access behind the scenes. So that means that... yeah, I mean, how possibly can you address all the security? I don't know.
I don't know either, and I don't know what the hiring process is because, I mean, obviously when you go to the airport, you're greeted by not the loveliest of people.
Right.
And, I mean, I look at them, and they're screening my bags, and I'm like, well, what do you know? And not that you don't, but, like, what makes you an expert on what those things are in my bag?
Right.
And I get that you're trained, and there's a process to it, but... What if somebody misses? What if they blink? What if they're like, you know what? I'm in a bad mood.
Right.
But
you're thinking of
go.
The security checkpoint, right?
I'm thinking of just everything.
What about the employees like that go and service the plane? Because I think we're talking about people that can get to the plane.
Well, fine. Them too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're right. I mean, you know.
And what kind of action? Like, how do they enter the airport? Why don't they go through the same security checks that we go through?
Yeah.
Their own employees.
That's true.
I mean, they just, park and walk up and are like, hey?
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
And what maybe kind of background checks do they go through? Well, I mean, and granted, a background check doesn't always find everything because what if today I'm disgruntled and I hate America because I can't afford to feed my family and I've never committed a crime, but this sounds like a good idea.
Right. And you weren't a suspect before.
Right. So
right.
I don't know how you ensure that. I would guess that there's probably more they can be doing about personnel, but... Maybe they'll do it now. I don't know. Sometimes it takes one thing and people start fighting back. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess it's never going to be 100%, but...
seems like a learning process, especially when now we're dealing with ISIS. Before we had other issues. Now it's this, so we've got to adjust to that. I also think, like, unfortunately, we're dealing with our own, like, civil issues in terms of, like, airports. Like, even those people that, like, go and shoot up, like, out airport security.
Right.
And they're just angry.
Yeah.
They're not even terrorists. They're just angry people that do crazy things. So, you know, I don't know. There's just fighting everywhere.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing. I mean, people can't get along. And that's why I'm saying, you know, if another race on another planet had the same, you know, I don't know, tendencies that we do, They probably would destroy themselves before they ever get here. So I don't know. That's just a theory I read, and it kind of made sense to me. But going back to the security, the amazing thing is how many plots are foiled. You know, I mean, just think about, sometimes I wonder how come we don't have more terrorism, you know, in this country and stuff. But they do prevent it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know.
Right. Like, that's what I was going to say. Like, I feel like there's a lot of things we don't know.
Right.
And for the ones we do hear about, there's probably 100 ones we don't.
Right.
I mean, that's why we have, you know, intelligence agencies and things like that, and people on the ground, and people are doing their jobs. I mean, obviously, maybe they could be doing a better job in certain areas, but I can't do their job.
Yeah.
So who am I to say anything?
No, that's true. You know, I mean, sometimes you wonder how come something tragic hasn't already happened.
Well, I mean,
when
there's
so many people. Yeah, that's true. But you wonder how more things, or I do, I wonder why more things are not happening with so many people wanted to destroy us.
Right.
You know?
I agree. I mean, I walk into like a park, not a parking garage, but like a stadium or a place where there's a concert or a movie theater and think, wow, this would be a great place to blow up if somebody really wanted to. Not that I would, obviously, but I'm like, there's a lot of people here.
Yeah.
You know, this would make a big statement if somebody did something. And those kinds of things make me really uncomfortable to be at.
Yeah.
Because if I'm thinking these thoughts, the bad people are definitely thinking these thoughts.
Right, exactly. You know, and another thing is when I get concerned is when Israelis get together or Jews get together, and you go, this would be like a perfect place for them.
Oh, yeah. The Jewish holidays are my biggest fear.
Yeah. Huh?
And it shouldn't be the case. And obviously, I'm feeling it on a small scale in the United States. But imagine people in Israel that want to celebrate their holidays or you know, take part in their religion. Same thing with other countries where people feel persecuted. To have to feel like that and unsafe just to live their life and practice their beliefs is crazy.
Yeah.
Then again, stay home and do it, and that's fine too.
Right.
But it shouldn't be the way that we live.
No, obviously. You know, I mean, I go to this Israeli restaurant here that's always like packed with people, and I'm going, this would be like a target. This could be a good target, but it's a scary thing. We can't live thinking those things. So I try to push it out of my mind and just say, thank God we're in America and for the most part we're safe and peaceful and stuff. And that's another thing that I responded to that post about us being in war all the time. I thought, you know, this is the price for retaining a freedom, for retaining a liberty, because so many people want to take it away from us. So it's not like necessarily wars that come from our aggression, but defensive wars, you know, and sometimes you have to preempt somebody. So you start the war. But yeah, we somehow have to defend ourselves, and that's the thing. So we have to have a strong military. There's no question about it, you know. So anyway, enough of that. Tonight, the Republican debate.
Yes.
That's, what, the third or the fourth one already?
I don't even know. I think the third.
Let me think. There was
the third, I think, and one Democratic.
Yeah, that's true. Why am I thinking there were three? I don't know.
Because there was also a Democratic. This is, I think, the third.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. Tonight, there's only going to be 8 candidates out of the original. How many were there? Like 16 or something, 18?
Something outlandish.
Yeah, I know. So
people are starting to get demoted.
Yeah, exactly. People are, some people, you know, with very low score just were not invited.
Chris Christie, Mike Huckabee, they're now in the.
Right. And Pataki, I think, also, right?
Junior ranking.
In the race. Right. So I don't know, after the MSNBC fiasco, we'll see how it works this time, because people are complaining or accusing the Republicans of being spoiled and taking out or trying to blame the network for their inability to answer questions. So we'll see. You know, I mean, everybody's attacking everybody. It seems like the media now is sort of like trying to get back at them and trying to expose things with Carson and everything.
I think that's going to be very interesting to hear what Carson has to say about all the things coming out about his past.
Right.
And how he wrote a biography about himself and getting a scholarship to West Point when he didn't actually get a scholarship to West Point.
Oh, I thought, did he? Is that what he said? Because what I was reading is that he said he applied for, but that makes sense. If he got a scholarship, then he could have applied. But he didn't say he went there, right? Or did he?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But yeah, that's a good point to bring up. We'll see how he can handle these questions.
I just don't understand how anybody can run for office and think that things aren't going to come out about
right,
them.
Right.
It's like very sweet to think that no one's going to go digging, but also right. they do.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, you're going to be under every kind of scrutiny there is.
Right.
Yeah. I know. So we'll see what happens.
So are
there,
you going to be watching?
Yeah. Or at least, usually I don't watch the whole thing because usually it's, let's see, it's going to be 6 p.m. Yeah, I won't be able to watch it live. But, you know, there's just so much coverage afterwards that you get all the highlights.
Right.
Know?
Is 6 p.m. the main one or the one before?
They don't have the one before anymore, remember? Because they only have the 8 people now.
Oh.
Yeah.
So. Well, I thought when I read that Chris Christie and Mike Huckabee were demoted, that they were demoted to the lower rankings. But that there was still a junior league.
You think there's still one?
I don't know. I could be wrong. I mean, I don't see why there would even be two anymore. They should be narrowing things down.
Right. And besides, I'm also thinking if there's 8 before they had 10, then maybe it's just because they, you know, the other ones didn't make the cut. Because many people have like less than 1%, you know, like Lindsey Graham or something. And it's funny because he's asking, how is it possible that someone like, that outsiders like Carson and Trump are beating me? But, well, obviously, you know, I mean, he probably doesn't have a lot to offer. I don't know.
Or he's just not making a big enough, you know, scene.
Splash,
and yeah, they're just, I mean, people are drawn to also controversy. So even though Ben Carson might be saying these things or might be lying, people now want to know about him.
Right.
So bad publicity is good publicity.
Yeah. I don't know. The race is still wide open. We'll see what happens.
I'm just glad that we've got plenty of time.
Yeah. I know, to think about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, really, who's even a good candidate right now?
Right. We have to run him through the ringer a couple times before we see who's worth their...
Well, do you think Fox News will do that tonight? I mean, so...
I don't know. I don't know. It's Fox Business News and the Wall Street Journal. So, you know, maybe it'll be focused more on the economy. Who knows?
That would be nice.
Yeah. I know. But yeah, foreign policy is very important because these are the threats that are presented to us every day, and we have to, whether we like it or not, some people want to be isolationists and don't want to be involved, but people are involving us whether we like it or not. And I think that's the bottom line. So we got to have a strong military, and whatever candidate offers that, I think I'm going to lean towards that, you know.
It's just so crazy to me that there's even war. Like, why can't we all just do our own things?
Right. Because, yeah, well, that's the thing, is that some people want to impose their way of life on other people.
Right. Well, why don't you just do what you want to do on your land or your country or your group of people and consider that a win?
Right.
Like, why does everybody got to do it? Well, how does what we do over here affect what you do over there? There's like an ocean between us. There's other countries between us.
Right.
There's other people with bigger issues to fry. Like, how do they not have... bigger issues to deal with. I just don't understand why we are such a concern of theirs.
Well, in the case of Islamic extremists, it's because that's their belief. I mean, their life is religious. Their Quran tells them to do those things and to kill the infidel and all these things.
Yeah, but what's an infidel?
Someone who's not like them. You know, if you're not... if you don't believe in Muhammad, then
so why aren't they mad at like London? Why aren't they mad at Paris?
They are. They're doing the same things there too. I mean, there's a lot of instances in London of bombings and killings and things like that. There's been a few. So so they're very concerned with all the Western world.
So how come more countries aren't grouping together to do a bigger thing about it?
Good question.
I mean, not to say
because the countries differ among themselves in their views. You know, so some people do not want to get involved, and some do, but they don't get enough support. You know, some people don't know what the right thing to do is.
Well, if everyone bands together, isn't that the whole point of, like, the EU and, like, all
those
other
things? Yeah, I totally agree with you, you know? I mean, that's what you
have.
It
needs to be a world issue, not a country issue.
Right, but it takes a while for people to recognize that. And I think now that Russia was brought into this, we'll see what happens. Now they're totally involved, you know?
How come they haven't retaliated yet? Or I guess they don't want to until they know for sure that they can.
Right, they don't know. Yeah, exactly. They're not sure yet. It's an early part of the investigation, I guess, but... Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see if they retaliate or not, you know. I mean, as it is already, they went in and claimed that they're bombing ISIS, which some people are saying they're not. They're bombing other rebels. So I don't know. But yeah, it seems like our administration suddenly woke up and starting to do more things about it. But we'll see. Look, Jen, it's not an easy thing to take a country to war, especially America, you know, where it's democratic and people, you know. Yeah. So we'll see. But I guess Trump and Carson are pretty close on the early state in the early states, like Iowa and New Hampshire. But I guess that's not. You know, I guess these states are important because they're the first ones, and then people sort of like maybe follow what they say, what they do, or mm-hmm. something. That's why they're so important. Because you ask yourself, why is Iowa so important?
Yeah, why are they the decision maker?
Right,
like, that's really great and everything.
Yeah. So and they have the caucuses there and everything. So it's sort of like, yeah, you wonder what does Iowa have to do with anything, or New Hampshire. But I guess I don't know at what point they decided which states go first and all that stuff. But I guess they did at a certain point.
And it's the same every year, every 4 years?
Every elections, yeah. Very interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of interesting stuff. You know who I enjoyed? I enjoyed our guests last week. We had some good guests, you know. We had... we had Ida, the comedian, on Friday.
Loved her.
She was very funny, very cool. You guys should check out some past shows. We really have great, great guests. I was listening to Kelly Lundgren, who was here the other day, and she was the stylist.
Yeah,
right. And she was a lot of fun too. So I really enjoy listening to my own show sometimes, because we run replays, and it happens during the night when I get ready for bed, so I kind of listen and catch a few things there. And try to catch the debate tonight and see what happens.
How was your weekend, by the way, since I didn't see you yesterday?
Yeah, that's true. Let me try and think about it, because it seems like so long ago, Jen. But I guess just the normal stuff, family, relaxation, and that's it. Nothing big at all. Although, you know, it's like I get up late and I go, gee, you know, why didn't I get up early and do something? But it's just so hard, man, when you go to sleep late.
Right.
And they're talking about naps here. I want to bring this up. They're saying that if you take a 20-minute nap between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m., it's going to revitalize you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's interesting is, like in Israel, at least when I grew up, not anymore, but when businesses were run by their owners, you know, small shops and stuff, and also in Europe where that's the case, a lot of mom-and-pop shops, they close between 2 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
They close the shop, they go home, they eat lunch, they nap, and then they come back. So I guess it makes sense, you know, that somebody must have figured out a long time ago that it was a good thing to do.
Definitely. I don't think any other country in the world probably works. Well, no, I think Japan works as many hours, but we work, you know, a different schedule than other countries.
Yeah.
They're like 9 to 6 or whatever the hours are that we work over here are way different. It's so many hours. It's not necessarily the most productive way to get things done.
Right.
It's just the like longest.
Right.
I don't believe in working long. I believe in working hard.
Right. But yeah, that's because the stores are open so many hours, you know, and because it's big stores, then the owner doesn't have to close and go home. So I think globally it's like that now, but there's still tradition. I heard that in Europe they still close the shops and stuff. I'm sure like a department store wouldn't, but the like I said, the mom and pop. So, yeah, so the same 20 minutes, not anymore, because then you go into REM sleep, which I can attest to. I tend to take naps that are over an hour because I try to make up for the lack of sleep at night. But I'm going to try this 20-minute thing and see if it really works, if it works better. Because they're saying you emerge refreshed, and and then you're more energized. So I'd like to see that.
I'm surprised that that's a new story. They've said many times that like a 20-minute power nap is the way to go, not a minute longer.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Same thing also with meditating. They say you should meditate for 20 minutes. Mm. And that meditating also provides you with the same things as a nap would.
Yeah, I believe that. We have a phone call. I have a feeling it's Casey. Let's see. Good morning, Casey. How you doing?
Morning.
Hi.
You see, I'm recognizing your number now.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Makes me feel special.
Awesome. Casey works with us in the building, and he likes to call in and stuff, and he's got opinions of his own. Are you calling?
Hey, I like to call in and confuse the public.
Yeah. Are you calling about anything we were talking about, or do you want to bring up something new that's on your mind?
You know, actually, I just walked in my office, and I was like, let me call these beautiful people. So I'm. Okay. You might have to catch me up. I just walked in.
That's okay.
In, so.
Is there anything on your mind? I mean, are you concerned with the, debate tonight, the Republican debate?
I would hope they would deal with stuff that's more. I'd like to hear their plans for the economy. I think. I want to hear some real
stuff about how they're going to handle the economy and...
Like plans.
Yeah, I mean, plans. I mean, we always hear the same thing. We're going to cut taxes. We're going to get more jobs. How? I want to know how.
Oh, okay. You know? Well, I can explain it to you. It's kind of difficult, but... Oh, not difficult. It's time-consuming. But the bottom line is, they want to reduce taxes so companies can spend more. You see, if a company has more money left, then they can hire more people, they can invest in their business and so forth, and that's how you create jobs. Because if companies have to pay taxes and it's too much for them, they have to lay off people. So that's how it works in the economy. And some people have different and obviously the Democrats have different theories about how things work, and they believe that raising taxes and then using that money for social programs is the way to go. But the problem is, you see, when you do that, then you're taking money from the people that have more money and you're giving it to the people that have less money. And that's socialism.
What about personal taxes and also student loans? I'd like to know more about those.
Yeah, student loans is heavy.
Kills people.
I once heard about these kids that actually got out of their student loans by they did a class action suit, and they proved that their college education was not worth their jobs that they were getting when they graduated from school.
Right.
They
were able to get out of their student loans.
Yeah. But you know what? I got to tell you this about student loans, I think that's a choice, so to complain about it.
No, because not all students take out the loans.
So that's a choice, right?
No, that's called not a choice. That's called maybe your parents did that.
No. Okay, but let me give you an example. I don't think that college requires that much money. In other words,
it does.
But wait a minute. I went to college locally at CSUN here, Cal State Northridge. Okay, granted, it's not UCLA. Okay, but if I wanted to go to UCLA, that's a choice. And then I'd have to ask myself, can I afford to go? And I could never afford to go to UCLA. So I went to a state college, university rather. And I don't feel that it's hurt me in my career. I got my degree. I got my education. And I didn't spend that kind of money. Going to a local university, I spent money on books, on tuition, which is not a lot. But I already had a place to live, and I was working. So, I think student loans is a choice. that you do. Again, I don't have any student loans.
Yeah, but what happens, say you're a student and the one school that you got into is out of state? And
no, but it's not
really
one school.
A choice. It's almost like a necessity.
No, but wait a minute. I mean, you can't tell me that in L.A. you don't have enough schools to go to that don't cost a lot of money.
Yeah, but so many people want to come to schools out here, though.
Right, you know? That's what I'm saying. Again, Casey, that's a choice. You know,
it's a competition thing, man. It becomes competition. Though.
Right, exactly. You know, but, I mean, I wasn't going to subscribe to this whole, like, going away to school and dorms and all these expenses that are all part of the loans. I mean, look, I'm please understand, I'm not putting you down. I think it's a great thing you went to school and to a good school as well. All I'm saying is I think it's a choice. You can get education without getting student loans.
I think that that is true. However, I also think that there are a lot of people out there that probably have student loans that they didn't actually ask for. They ended up with it because they inherited other people's debt, possibly their parents, who might have not planned on not being able to pay back the loans, but it got handed to them. Because so, you're an 18-year-old, and sometimes your parents still tell you where to go and what to do, and then shit happens.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, oh, gosh, guys, I have to go. My door in public's calling me.
Okay, man. We'll talk to you later, Casey.
I want to talk more about this. I'll call you guys tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, you guys are the best. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah. I guess, yeah, it's a difficult topic, you know, because, you know, obviously if you want to get into a good school, and arguably that's a better thing to do than to go to a local school, you know, or why is it better? I don't know. Maybe it'll open up more doors for you.
No, I think that people are now wiser about that. And the fact that you can go to really where you go to your undergrad doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you shouldn't go to like the worst school ever, but like and just go there to go there. But you could go to a free school. And then if you want to get a like a, you know, an MBA or whatever else after, you can go do that. And that matters, I think, where you go versus right. where you go for your undergrad. However,
but they're not free. I mean, none of them are really free. And, you know, if you go to Cal State Northridge, it costs quite a bit. So, you know, obviously for out of state, it costs a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, I went to Miami, you know, that right. was it's a private school.
So that was in state. Oh, yeah.
It's a private school.
Private
so
school.
There were options for me to go in state where I could have probably gotten a scholarship. Florida has this thing called Bright Futures where they basically pay for your school. So they even pay you to go to school. I have friends that were paid to go to school.
Really?
Yeah, because they got scholarships. And then on top of that, they got they got grants, scholarships, the whole thing.
Wow.
Or their scholarship cost more than their education did. Like yeah. somehow they just went to school for free.
Wow.
And so then they use that extra money for their housing and, you know, they had a good setup. And I wish in hindsight that I had gone to one of those schools. The reasons I didn't are different. But going to the University of Miami and that 4-year degree didn't give me anything more than any other school I probably could have gone to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, again, not my choice. So
right.
there you go.
But maybe it helped you become a better person or something. I don't know.
It helped in certain school. Areas. Yes. It didn't help with my career.
Right. Yeah, today undergrad degrees really don't mean much. Today it's the minimum, really. You know, it's not like when I grew up, high school was a minimum. But today, with so much competition in the workforce, you have to stand out. You have to do well, you know, get honors if you can. Yeah, I mean, focus on school. That's why I don't really believe people should go to college right after high school. I think people should take a break of a year or two to really take a break from school, because what happens is many kids end up going right after high school, they go to college, and they really still have that high school mentality of like, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be in school, I want to socialize, and so forth. Whereas I think when you're more mature and you choose to go there, then you do a lot better in school. You know, I know I went back to college when I was, I went to college right after high school and realized it wasn't really for me. I didn't want to be there. So I stopped after a couple of semesters. And then at the age of 26, I went back to college. But by that point, I had already been in business and more mature and everything. So I approached it like a business, you know. I wanted to go for an MBA at UCLA, and I knew that I would have to do very well in my undergrad work, so I did. And I graduated with honors and everything, so that felt great, you know. But I chalk it up to not going to school right away, you know, because I think after 12 grades, kids are weary of school.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know, you know, whatever the studies are that show if they're better at school or not.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's some truth to that.
Yeah. I don't know that there's studies. It's just my instinct to think about it because that was my case.
Right.
Where I wasn't prepared when I was younger. But yeah, you know, I mean, if you have a chance to go to school, go just to make yourself a better person. It's not going to...
Why do you think school makes you a better person?
Because I think it makes you learn to organize yourself, to plan, to make goals, to have discipline, to sit down, you know, and do the things you have to do. I think if you allow yourself to socialize, I think that helps you, especially right after high school, to become an adult, you know, to be in a different kind of world.
So more a more well-rounded person.
Yeah, that's what I meant, yeah. Right. Not necessarily more moral or anything, or maybe you would be. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have gone to a good school, you know, I mean, to one of the Ivy League schools. But I know I couldn't afford it. And at the time, it's funny, I didn't even consider student loans. And now I'm happy I didn't, you know. I don't know what I would do with all that debt. I mean, yeah, it's hard. It's hard. But, and you know, I mean, you're right out of school and you're already, like, indebted, you know, so much money.
Yep.
And I know because it's hard because you mention it a lot and I can imagine it's quite a burden.
It
you know?
Sure is.
Wow.
My student loan debt every month is what some people's rent costs.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. What can you do about it?
Nothing because I have private loans.
Wow.
At some point, there are things that can be done, but they're not that helpful.
Right.
It's like consolidating your loans into one loan versus four loans.
Yeah.
So
in hindsight, would you have done the same thing? Would you have gone to the same school?
I would hope that in hindsight, maybe my parents would have rethought where I went.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I applied where I applied and I got in where I got in and I went to the place I got in.
And at that age, I guess maybe you don't worry about the money that much?
Again, or you did. I keep saying.
Yeah.
My parents.
No, I know. I know.
Not me.
No, I know. But you didn't have any say in it?
No.
Okay. Okay, gotcha. And now you saddled with all the loans.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
And it is what it is, and it's just something, you know, I think probably having the debt is what made me the person I am today because it's made me become resourceful and a hard worker. Not that I wasn't one before, but it's made me view it differently and incredibly independent.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
And it also, money is just money.
Right.
It comes and goes. You have it to feed yourself and to do things. It's not anything more than that.
Right.
I don't think that makes you who you are. I think what you deal with in life makes you who you are.
Yeah. And how you deal with it. Yeah.
Right.
True. Well, I guess everybody's got their own package.
Yeah.
Their own baggage. Oh, wow. Let's see. A couple more things.
Did you ever listen to the Serial podcast?
No, I've heard of it. That's supposed to be like the biggest thing or something, the biggest podcast ever.
Yes, the most listened to podcast ever.
So what is it? Is it like episodes and things like that?
Yeah.
Okay. No, because, I mean, some podcasts are like ours, you know? I mean, we don't have like something that continues from...
Yeah, but we have episodes. We have today, tomorrow, the next day.
What I meant is it like a soap opera? I mean,
how it works is it is a story and it is told in sequential order where... It's the beginning of this woman's dive into a case that was from 1999. And she was a reporter at the Baltimore Sun. And someone contacted her and said, you were a reporter. And we don't think that this case was tried appropriately. And somebody's wrongfully put in jail and wrongfully accused for a murder that they didn't think he committed. And so they wanted her to start digging into it. So she did. And so, I don't know, maybe 13 episodes later where she went one by one through like her digging into the case and interviewing people and then getting to the next part of the case and the next part of the case, she came to a sort of like an end of the series. And I guess the guy at the time who was accused of murder and in jail since 1999 was applying for a retrial, and he actually was granted one this past weekend, which is why I bring it up.
Okay.
So after her whole series on, it's called Serial on This American Life, and it's about every episode, I think, or every series she would do was about a different case.
Okay.
And she would look into the cases. So that's why they came to her, and she looked into this case. And so now there's a follow-up called Undisclosed, where the lawyers reopened the case too, and were looking into it as well, and did a podcast.
Okay.
So theirs, I think, is like 22 episodes.
Now, is this based on true story, or they're just making it up?
No, it's based on a case.
Okay.
An actual case. She worked at the Baltimore Sun.
Okay, I thought that's all part of the...
No.
Okay, I thought that's all part of
this
the plot.
This woman was a reporter. No, it's not a soap opera. It's an actual, like, it's a thing based on cases
okay,
that exist.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So anyway, the guy, that's why he just got a retrial this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A real retrial in a real court.
All right.
For a murder that they think he really committed in 1999. So anyway, it's a big deal, and it's resurfacing in the news everywhere, and so it's really interesting.
Yeah, cool. So is that like an audio podcast, or do they have video too?
Audio.
Audio only.
But it is being made into a TV show. The people that made the Lego Movie and 21
Jump Street
are turning it into a TV series.
Wow. What a success story. That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard of the name of it, that it's a big deal. I never got a chance to listen, but maybe I should.
It's very interesting, and if you're in the car or, you know, all that.
Where do you get it? On iTunes or something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Did you hear about this cop that shot a 6-year-old and killed him?
No, but I did hear about another child that got murdered recently, I think in L.A. But anyway, carry on.
Mm. No, this is new. I mean, this just happened, and I guess two police officers were chasing a guy, and after a report of domestic violence or something, so they were chasing him, a high-speed chase, and then somehow they cornered him in a dead-end street and shot, how many shots? I mean, like 8 or something, and killed the kid. I mean, they shot... he's a baby. I mean, at 6. In the head and in the chest. The father got wounded, but he didn't die. And you go... You know, so now they're charging the cops, and they suspended them and stuff for attempted second-degree murder. Wow.
Yikes.
And these are cops. One is 23, one is 32. And... you know, how devastating this is. And you know, I mean, although I'm trying to understand the police, I think they've been getting out of hand lately. I mean, some of them are just, like, ridiculous for the stuff. They shoot for things that are not, like, you know, I mean, the guy didn't have any firearms on him or anything.
Yeah, I don't understand what's happening and why it's so frequently happening. I also think... You know, you mentioned the ages of the cops.
Right.
I don't think that a cop should be under the age of 30 years old.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't think people know right from wrong or themselves well enough to know how to judge a situation.
Yeah.
And then we lose young lives. And not that we should lose older lives, but like a 22-year-old doesn't know anything. I'm sorry. You know, I'm 30. I'm still...
Not a lot of experience.
No, and I don't think that they should be the judge of most things.
Right.
So.
Okay. Makes sense.
I think, you know, it's one thing to do desk work, to help in, you know, detective work or, like, doing research or whatever it is. But I don't think that... Just like a lawyer. Like, the head lawyer on a big case is never going to be a 22-year-old. That person's going to be... A junior.
Right.
They're going to be support for a big case because you can't put somebody's life or, you know, a criminal trial in the hands of a 22-year-old.
That's true. Yeah.
So why are you going to put a gun in the hand of a 22-year-old?
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. I mean, it makes a lot of sense because I try to remember when I was 23, I probably shouldn't have been I don't think I would have been ready to be a cop at 23. I think you're right. You're still pretty immature at 23.
I mean, if 23-year-olds are interns and barely making money in companies, why should a 23-year-old be holding a gun, making decisions on life or death?
Right. Yeah, and decisions like that probably come from experience. But how does that 32-year-old justify that? I don't know.
Yeah, that I can't understand. But yeah. I still stand by people should have more life experience before they are made to make like decisions and things like that with responsibility.
Mm. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. And then finally, I guess there was this 32-year-old who was dying from cancer, and he was a big Star Wars fan, so he asked to see an early version of it, early edition of the movie, and Disney actually allowed him to do that. So he got to see the movie, and then he died in his sleep.
Sad.
Yeah. So not right away, of course, but they're saying he did get to watch the movie.
That's great, and great that they did that. And also, that's my preferred way to go.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
I know. And they're saying actually Mark Hamill was supporting, allowing him to see the movie and stuff. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, going in your sleep is probably the best way. I was thinking about death this morning.
Why?
Because my dad, I see him like withering away. And I'm just thinking, it's like you don't want to think about the future. You don't want to think of how it's going to be like a few months, years from now. But you have to. You know, you have to prepare for it, or otherwise it's just a surprise. So I'm just thinking, you know, I mean, eventually we'll have to feed him because, I mean, as it is, it's hard for him to bring the food to his mouth from the plate and things like
yeah.
that. You know, so. But all in all, I mean, he's very aware. He's still living relatively normally, so I'm happy about that. Every day you have with your, that's what I'm saying, every day you have with your parents or with your loved ones, anybody, you got to cherish that, man, because they may not be here tomorrow.
That is true. And speaking of loved ones, today is my cousin's birthday. Happy birthday, Melissa.
Oh, Melissa.
Yeah, love you.
Happy birthday, Melissa.
Yep.
Why don't you invite her on the show sometime? Would you want to be here?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know what she would talk about.
That's never the problem. You know, we always find things to talk about. But you speak so highly of your cousins that I'm curious now, you know.
Well, we have a big family celebration on Sunday to celebrate two birthdays this week. It's Melissa's and also my uncle's birthday this week.
Oh,
so
very nice. Well,
Sunday
happy
night,
birthday.
We have a big family gathering.
Very cool. All right. Well, everybody, thank you all for joining us. Thanks, Casey, for calling in. That's it. So we'll see you tomorrow. Bye, Jen.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.